to The Lineup. Unless it's your first time, then welcome to The Lineup. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know how to do an introduction, but welcome to The Lineup. We're going to learn. We're going to share. We are going to have a lot of fun. And it starts right now. Let's do it. He is a Maryland alum now. He was a running back at the University of Maryland, and he led the you led the conference this year, right? With like 8 yards per carry.
Yeah. 8 yards per carry.
Yeah, like pretty legit running back at Maryland. All Big Ten selection. And we've known each other since freshman year when we were babies before he was a big time going to the NFL Combine. So this is Jake Funk this week, and we are going to talk about his ACL recovery and how he came back from that and decided to declare for the draft. So let's get right into it. First of all, you're leaving Maryland, you're done with college. How are you feeling about that? Like, are you excited for that? Obviously, you have big things ahead, but you're done with college.
Yeah, I mean, obviously really excited about it to, start the real world and actually start moving on with my life. Mm-hmm. It's a big step from college athletics to the professional level. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about it. Couldn't be more happy about it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely so exciting. You have big, big things ahead of you. What got you to Maryland in the first place? What, drew your attention? I know you're from Maryland, but what was like the selling point for you?
The selling point for me was that it was my only Power 5 conference offer coming out of high school. I grew up in a family where my dad played Power 5 football. Mm-hmm. And really, thought that I was a Power 5 guy. Mm-hmm. And Maryland was the only school that wanted me at running back at the Power 5 level. So, mm-hmm. That was kind of the icing on the cake. And then on top of that, just being close to home.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it's a no-brainer. How far? It's like 30 minutes from Damascus?
Yeah, my house is about like 45.
Yeah, that's so nice. That's like a perfect distance. What'd you get your degree in at Maryland?
So I got my undergrad in kinesiology, and then I started my master's in business and management.
Okay. So if you weren't declaring for the draft, or if you decided to change your mind, what would you want to do other than football?
So I enjoy the business side of sports. Uh-huh. I really would love to get into a front office position at a professional football program or mm-hmm. professional sports team in general. I think running a sports business, really, because that's what it is, mm-hmm. is something that is awesome. And I love the ins and outs of just how a sports team works.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Yeah, that's super cool. There's a lot that goes into that, and I feel like people don't recognize that unless like people like you bring it to their attention. People only see the athletes on the field, the people taking hits on the field, but there's so much more like behind the scenes that goes on that I think obviously you'd be really great at that. You've seen it all, but I think that'd be awesome.
For sure. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. So your ACL or ACLs, I guess, we should talk about that a little bit. So again, for those of you guys who don't know, Jake tore, was it the same knee or was it two different knees?
Same knee twice.
Okay. So Jake tore the same knee, ACL, two times. So I'm going to let you talk on that. Take us through the first one. Did you know? What were you thinking? All of that. And then we'll get into the second one.
The first one was in 2018, came off of actually a broken hand, and two games into my being back from a broken hand, I'm running down on a kickoff, and my knee felt it like buckle underneath me. Felt a little pop, but no real pain. I just fell over, got up, jogged off the field. Remember like my knee, feeling different. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I describe it. It's like it just felt unstable. Mm-hmm. And I would try to cut and it just didn't feel right. Then got an MRI after that, found out I tore my ACL. Obviously very depressing at the time, mm-hmm. very, upsetting. And it's something that, obviously that you've been through that you can understand, mm-hmm. Where, you have to go through the surgery, which is, pretty hard itself within mm-hmm. the first couple of weeks. when you're talking about the pain and the lack of motion and the crutches and everything mm-hmm. else that comes with it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the recovery process from there was that I recovered in 8 months, was back playing football in 8 months in 2019. Went through a training camp that was really gruesome. We only had 4 running backs in 2019 on the roster. So
that's like unheard of, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. I had a lot of stress on that left knee of mine going through training camp. And then ultimately by week 3, ran down on a kickoff again. Felt my knee pop. Didn't necessarily buckle. But just came off the field and was like, you know, felt weird again. Mm-hmm. Got an MRI this time around. My ACL was only partially torn. Mm-hmm. So my surgeon, who's done both of these surgeries, she pretty much told me that if I had any NFL aspirations, that my knee would not clear NFL medical protocols. So it kind of put me in a position where I had to get surgery again.
Yeah.
To repair the whole thing. I ended up that second surgery. They had to actually take the graft from my right knee to put into my left knee.
Oh yeah, I forgot you were like sitting there with like 2 braces on, all wrapped up. Like you were like straight chilling in 2 braces.
So the second time I got double knee surgery.
Yeah.
And was sitting in, you know, pretty much immobile, locked out braces for 2 weeks. Couldn't really do anything. And then in that time frame, I also got an infection in my knee.
Oh my God.
With it a week after that. Mm. And that honestly was the worst thing that I've ever had to deal with in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah, besides the ACLs, just, you know, the way that your body just shut down from an infection. I had a 102 plus fever for a whole week straight.
Oh my gosh.
Sleeping 2 hours a night. And then had to go in and get another surgery to clean out the infection. Was on IV antibiotics for a month. Had a PICC line that went into my arm, went to my heart pretty much. And I was, you know, had to 3 times a day inject myself with antibiotics. And lost about 25 pounds from that. And then, you know, the rehab process started right after that.
Right.
Again, you know, the second time around, it was a little bit easier for me because mm-hmm. I knew what to expect.
Right.
But we also looked back at my rehab process going through that and tweaked a couple things here and there that we could have done better because we had more time.
Mm-hmm.
This go around in this process, we had over a year before I started playing football again in 2020.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, long story short, what has happened over the last 2 years for me.
That's incredible. Like the fact that you're even able to run right now is like a huge blessing. And I think that, I mean, it says so much about like your character and how you are so dedicated to the game. The fact that you're, you know, recovered and declared for the draft. But I want to hear more about like the initial moment you heard that you tore your ACL. So I know you said right when it happened, you didn't really think it was a thing. My sister tore her ACL and she had the same experience as you, that she was just kind of like, oh, my knee feels a little bit weird. And then a few days later got the MRI. But I was different in the sense that I knew right away. Some people do, some people don't. After you had like that time to sit on it and you were like, oh, my knee's probably okay. And then you got the news. What was that like?
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was really tough. I remember coming into the training room the first time and, you know, my knee was feeling okay. And then my one trainer told me to come back into like his office and he closed the door behind him.
Oh,
let me sit down and was just like, just broke the news to me.
Oh.
And it was tough. I mean, yeah. It was very upsetting.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I broke down. I was
yeah.
like, this can't be happening because of the unknown with ACLs and how,
mm-hmm.
You know, you question whether or not you'll ever be the same athletically.
Definitely.
Because of it. It's really, you know, it was tough, especially
yeah.
the first time. And then it was even harder the second time.
That's what I was going to ask, yeah, what it was
so,
like the second time.
The second time, it was like I had a feeling on the bus ride home. We were playing Temple when I tore it. Mm-hmm. So we were coming back home from Philly. And I had a feeling that my ACL was kind of like was torn, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to admit it to myself.
Yeah.
So I was asking all the trainers, all like everybody that had any kind of medical knowledge to test my knee to see if my ACL was intact. Mm-hmm. Just to try to like get that out of my head that I re-tore it. And was, you know, very, very anxious and nervous the whole bus ride back. Couldn't really sleep. Mm-hmm. Couldn't really, you know, really function, to be honest, because all I was worrying about was my knee. Got the news. That one was harder than, you know, I could have imagined.
I mean, I can imagine you just got back, a year? 8 months. It was eight, 9 months. Oh, my gosh.
And really, it's because of all the work that you put in leading up mm-hmm. to that.
Yeah.
And I was playing pretty well in the beginning of the year that year. And,
yeah.
Was really thought I was hitting stride.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just, you know, it happened and it mm-hmm. was tough. And I relied a lot on my faith and my family mm-hmm. To be able to help support me through it. You know, you ask yourself, why me? Why does this happen to me a lot? And, you know, I was able to really, you know, figure out who I was as a man throughout the whole process. And,
yes.
It, like, introduced me to myself.
Yes.
Something that I think when you talk about the mental side of it, that was the hardest thing hearing it the second time.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask a question about that. And I don't know if there's, like, one thing specifically, but just what was, like, one of the biggest things? You said just how to be a man, but what was one of the biggest things you learned about yourself as a person and through the journey and through overcoming not one but two ACL tears within a year?
I mean, just that, you know, for me, it's not what happens to you. It's about how you respond to it. And that's kind of something that I've learned throughout this process is, mm-hmm. I've seen people go through this ACL process, not attack it, not be confident, doubt themselves about it, and ultimately the results don't match, or the results match how they felt about it.
Yeah.
And that was something that I looked at, and I took pride in not being one of those guys. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I had a lot of family support mm-hmm. That helped me. Not, you know, give up hope or doubt myself mm-hmm. Throughout the process. But really, you know, that's the biggest thing. You know, it's whatever happens to you in life, that's how you respond to it. You know, because, mm-hmm. you know, everything is not, you know, sunshine and daisies for everybody at all times.
Yes.
So, you know, and that's something for sure that, you know, when I'd say taught me how to be a man.
Yeah. So through ACL recovery, what was your biggest physical setback? Obviously, the infection you said was really, really bad. But just, you know, the daily rehab, what was the hardest physical part? And then what was the hardest mental part of it? Just in your, like, daily routines?
I would say the hardest physical part was just the first month or two when you can't really move it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not able to put any weight on it. You're crutching around. You're like thinking to yourself, like, is my knee ever going to be able to bend or be strong again? And, you know, you're looking at your quad muscle and you don't have a quad muscle.
Oh my gosh, that's like the craziest thing in the world when you look at your quad muscle and it's just not there.
Yeah, and you're just like looking at your leg and you're like, it's just there. It's not functioning, it's just there.
Yeah. And it's so crazy because literally 2 days before, you know, you're an athlete, you're looking at your legs and they're like strong and muscular, like they should be. And they're carrying you 100 yards down the field. And then the next day it's like, what the hell just happened to my leg?
Everything just goes away.
Yeah. It's easy to get caught in that mental, like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get that leg muscle back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's kind of the, I would say the physical part of it. The mental side of it is just, for me and my sport, cutting, being able to stop on a dime, cut, change direction, was a big thing for me mentally that you had to get over more than physically, because you get to a point in rehab where your knee is stable enough and your knee is strong enough to be able to cut and right. do these things, but it's will your mind be able to let your knee do that,
mm-hmm.
Or is it going to try to protect it and not let you really cut as hard as you possibly can?
Yeah, isn't it so weird when you're like starting to get back into cutting and stuff like that, and you're like, there's no way my knee can do that. There's no way my knee can hold this weight or cut that way. But it's like, that's what it was built to do, and that's what it did years and years before you got hurt. But it's so weird how your mind like plays these tricks on you, and you're like, I can't cut that way. Like, you just have to, yeah, you have to get past that. But it is so hard, and it's scary.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean,
it was definitely a wild ride.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Wild is, it's so crazy. And it's crazy how everyone's is so different. Everyone's experience is so different with the ACL. And I think you touched on it really well where you said the mindset going into it and through the process is something that separates people, you know, on the other side of the recovery. So if you kind of go into it like half-assed and you're like, am I going to be okay? Can I do this? Will I recover? Like, that's when you run into these problems. But I think you said it best when you're like, I'm going to attack this head first and I'm going to come back stronger. And then a lot of times, like, those are your results. And I think that that's super important to remember for, I don't know, again, whoever's listening to this, whatever, whoever, if you're struggling with an ACL tear or some kind of injury, or even separating ACL tear and athletics from it in general, that mindset is something that will take people so far in life. Attacking things head on and with a badass attitude and just knowing that you are going to crush whatever is in front of you, that's something that my coach and my mom both really emphasized to me throughout my life, is just having that can-do attitude. It really will just help you accomplish things at a whole new level. You have to have that confident mindset. And I think, Jake, you are a really great example of that, because obviously that worked for you. So is there something through your ACL recovery, infection inside and two times aside, that you would do differently? Just rehab together, like anything you would do differently?
Anything I would do differently?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if there's anything I would do differently. I would say that I just wish, you know, I had more time.
Yeah.
Obviously, because that first season is like, you know, kind of rough on the knee, and yeah. every statistic that you see is that your risk for re-tear goes down after 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years after surgery. So I just wish, you know, I had more time throughout the process before actually coming back.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, just the rehab process itself, I would say just continuing to just, you know, like the first time around, one of the big things that we made a point about and we changed the second time was my cardiovascular endurance.
Okay.
My aerobic endurance. So I had a bigger emphasis on my overall just conditioning, mm-hmm. because I knew that going into the season, I was going to have a heavy load on my shoulders. So my cardiovascular system needed to be able to keep up with my knees,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately help that tendon that they implant in your knee to become a ligament with the amount of contacts that you hit the ground with.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the biggest thing for me that I changed from mm-hmm. the first time around to the second. But the second time around, I really don't have any regrets because I haven't, you know, I had results that I was really happy with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm sorry, I'm firing questions at you right now.
No, you're fine.
What is something that you would tell your pre-ACL self? Looking back on it, you would maybe bring to your pre-ACL tear attention.
I would say that, especially in my sport, body maintenance is probably the biggest thing that you should worry about.
Okay.
Coming into like college athletics, mm-hmm. especially college football, maintaining, you know, your body and being able to recover and using recovery modalities, as well as eating, sleeping, hydration, like the way you just live your life off the field is going to translate to how you perform on the field.
Yeah.
And that's what I would really tell myself. Really good. Back to like freshman and sophomore year, I would obviously tell myself all those things. And, you know, I think, I hope that goes and helps somebody else, being able to say that.
Yeah.
Because that's something that I think is very important, and that I think it's something that's correlates very heavily to your play.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't know how many people will be listening to this, whether it's 10, 5, 9, I don't know. Hopefully more than that. I don't really know. But I think like what you're saying and what having people on this, like even if it helps one person who's going through this ACL tear or, you know, hasn't torn their ACL but can maintain their body a little bit better now, I think that that's all I'm really looking for, is to help at least one person. I mean, our body is literally a temple, and I think that it's time that we start thanking it for everything it does for us, rewarding it with good sleep, great food, lots of water. Whether you're an athlete or not, that's just something that everyone should put at the forefront of their focus. It's just taking care of your body and thanking it for all the incredible things it does. I'm just hoping, yeah, that it strikes with one person, and I think it definitely will. It's easy, especially in college, to get caught up in college and to like forget that we are athletes and that our body needs to be fueled. And I just think that it's easy to get caught up in a kind of a lackadaisical lifestyle. And I think something that I know I need to be better at, but I'm sure all athletes, is the post-practice recovery. When like, I don't know if like this is how you're, probably not because it's so serious, but you know, like when you've had like a tough practice and the last thing you want to do is like still be at the facility, like you just want to get home and like eat or like be on the couch. Like it's easy to just kind of like forget about that post-practice recovery. And I think that's something that's super important, injury or not.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's something that the first time around I didn't take as seriously as I did the second time around for my ACL. Mm-hmm. I'd be in the training room, exactly what you're saying, like for at least an hour, almost after every practice, doing something for my knee.
Yeah, I just feel like there's always something that you can like be working on.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk a little more separate from the ACL and just talk a little bit of football. So are you going to miss putting on the Maryland uniform? Like, obviously you're super excited for what's to come, but are you going to miss the atmosphere of Maryland or not so much? Or
I'm going to miss it, obviously, because of the amount of time and effort that you put in to put on that jersey.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to miss, obviously, my friends that I made throughout my years there. And mm-hmm. I mean, you know, just the experience of college football in general.
Yeah.
There's nothing like, you know, playing in front of 50-plus to 100K fans and, you know, not being able to hear the person next to you in some games. Mm-hmm. You know, the experience was something that, you know, I'll forever cherish because there was nothing like it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If you could pick an NFL team to play for right now, just based on color and location, it has nothing to do with football. Like, they could be the worst team in the league. Who are you playing for?
You said location and what?
And their colors.
Colors? Oh, Miami.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah, exactly. I love the Miami. I'm looking at my Miami Dolphins hat right now.
Oh, yeah.
And got the orange with like the teal, green, and white.
Yeah, but see that orange? Like, I don't think I could do that orange. I don't love orange, and I don't love like royal purple. Are there any purple? Oh, the Ravens. Yeah, I couldn't play for the Ravens. Absolutely not. I'm trying to think. There's some schools that aren't schools. There's some NFL teams that like their colors are so bad. Like no one's playing for them just because their colors are so bad. Well, that's not how it works. But like if it were me and I was deciding on like color and location, the Saints have great colors. I don't really love New Orleans, but the Saints' colors are great.
I do like the Panthers. I like the baby blue.
Yeah, okay. I could do the Panthers.
Baby blue with white and black.
And you're in like Carolina. That's nice. Like we could do that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so when you're picking a team, just like think about the colors, because that, you know, that's important.
Exactly. Very important.
What is the best piece of advice you've gotten, whether it's, you know, ever or in the last few years or through your recovery? What was the best piece of advice?
The best piece of advice that I've ever gotten is that all things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
And a lot of those things you won't find out until later on in life. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that's good, bad, indifferent, that's the best piece. Mm-hmm. My dad told me that when I was a young kid, you know, talking about faith. And really, you know, God has a plan for everybody. And, mm-hmm. you know, being able to understand that and use that as a guide through your life that, you know, you may not understand what is happening to you right now, but you will at some point, has been the best advice.
Yeah. Have you always been rooted in this faith like this, or has the ACL tear made your faith? I know you said you leaned on it a lot.
I grew up in like a kind of religious family. Like, you know, we went to church, but it wasn't on a regular basis.
Right.
And, you know, religion wasn't really implemented into my upbringing. But throughout the ACLs, it's kind of brought me a lot closer with that. Just because, you know, like I said earlier, I mean, you ask yourself, why does this happen to me? Why is this happening to me? Why can't I catch a break? And really, you just lean on, you know, for me, leaning on exactly what my dad would say, and then, you know, my faith about how everything happens for a reason. And, you know, just believing in yourself and believing in the man upstairs that, you know, he's doing this for a reason. So,
yeah, I think that is a really, really great piece of advice. That was something that I leaned on a lot too through my ACL recovery. Is just, and at the time, honestly, I didn't even see it when I was going through my recovery. It took me like probably 9 months into my recovery to be like, okay, wait, this is my reason. And my reason is because I found out, like, oh, I want to be a sports psychologist. Like, I want to, you know, advocate for mental health. But I love that idea, is that, because I feel like a lot of people harp on that, well, why me? Like, why is this happening to me? But, you know, if we all ask that every single day, like, we wouldn't get anywhere. It's just taking what we're given, making the most of it, and trying to see the silver lining. And it's definitely easier said than done, especially like right now when nobody knows what's going on and nobody could tell you why. It is something to keep in mind, just, you know, to try and find that silver lining. And I think that makes it a lot easier when you take it from that perspective.
Yeah, no, for sure. I completely agree.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the line with us, and I hope you're enjoying Florida.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Can't wait to see you in the NFL draft.
We'll see. Crossing my fingers.
Yes, crossing the fingers. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Lineup. Next week, we have mindfulness and performance coach Emily Perrin.